Welcome to the Yo 11 Podcast. Yo 11 Podcast, mostly Vegas, no BS, casino experience, and more. Today's episode, flashback to the Imperial Palace. This is episode 87, season 3 of the Yo 11 Podcast. Yes, there is a name change. Michael Traeger is a casino and travel loyalty expert who also helps people turn their travel dreams into reality. And now your host, Michael Traeger.
Hi, how you doing? If I want to really confuse everyone today, I could say welcome to Zorkcast.
I mean, we could. It's still not a bad idea.
Welcome to Zorkcast. Also, the Yo 11 Podcast. I was recently told by somebody, and it was very, very sweet. Somebody who's been listening to Zorkcast since the beginning of time, which is quite a while. And they said that they missed Zorkcast, but they especially missed the way I did the intro, where I would say, welcome to Zorkcast. So I've done it a few times now. So hopefully that person is listening. And I do have an idea, though I haven't told you this yet,
okay,
Destro, that I do want to record the regular Zorkcast format with guests at least twice a month. You know, a regular full format, 45 minute kind of Zorkcast, but we will get to that. So in between the Yo 11, so we've got our Yo 11 podcast, but then maybe twice a month, you get a full Zorkcast.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, I think so. And it should be done. And I actually have a reboot set on that with like more loyalty stuff and other things. And I was actually roping somebody else into it. But things just got crazy, and Yo 11's been going really well. Of course, if you notice, we have renamed it Yo 11 Podcast, because no longer should anyone pay attention to my harebrained, ridiculous, fucking crazy ideas of trying to keep to 9 minutes or 11 minutes. Because if you remember, Zorkcast was originally based on a nine-minute format, which I never kept. And then I decided to try to repeat something that I can never do and create an 11-minute format, which hasn't worked so well either. So we are staying away from anything that mentions time.
Yep. Yep, indeed.
Yeah.
I think in our history of, like, so far 86 episodes, we've only hit the 11-minute mark. And not exactly 11 minutes, just past 11 minutes, but less than 12 once or twice.
Well, Zorkcast originally started with, like, got 9 minutes.
Yep.
How'd that work out?
I remember some 45-minute episodes of got 9 minutes.
It was some derivative of nine.
Got 9 times 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, that's it. So yeah, we're done with that. So as always, we thank our listeners so much. We thank you for feedback, because this entire episode is based on the amazing feedback we got on X. And that feedback was to Mavestro's article on the Imperial Palace. So thank you, thank you, thank you, because this makes our life much easier, and it's awesome. So I think we should just get to the news, and then we should dive in deep into the IP.
All right, that being said, it's time for the news and views. The Evel Knievel Museum, a tribute to the iconic Daredevil, is set to move to Las Vegas, finding a new home near the vibrant arts district. This move is part of an exciting development aimed at transforming the 32,000 square foot SF Mission Linen Building, located at 1001 South 1st Street, just north of Charleston Boulevard and west of Casino Center Boulevard. This area is soon to be revitalized, bringing new life and attractions to the neighborhood. The museum, currently situated in Topeka, Kansas, houses a collection of genuine artifacts from Evel Knievel, the legendary stunt performer known for his motorcycle jumps. The relocation to Las Vegas, a city synonymous with entertainment and flair, is seen as a perfect fit. Kelly Knievel, Evel's son and the custodian of his legacy, expressed his enthusiasm about showcasing his father's daring exploits in a city that matches the thrill and excitement of Knievel's own stunts. Alongside the museum, The development will feature exciting new additions, including the Mothership Coffee Roasters and a unique heavy metal-themed pizza parlor. Mothership Coffee Roasters is set to establish its flagship retail location and primary roasting facility at this site, promising a top-notch coffee experience for visitors. The heavy metal-themed pizza parlor, envisioned by Brandon Powers, known for his work on Golden Tiki and Evil Pie, is slated to be a blend of Chuck E. Cheese and 80s metal. This venue aims to create an immersive experience with a 1970s carnival dark ride, pinball machines, skee ball, retro arcade games, and an animatronic heavy metal band performing in a castle-themed environment. The new location is not just a museum. It's designed to be a comprehensive entertainment hub that honors the spirit of Evel Knievel in a setting that reflects his larger-than-life persona. The project developers, Dapper Companies, have yet to announce a specific opening date, but the anticipation is already building for what promises to be a significant new attraction in Las Vegas, drawing fans of Evel Knievel and visitors looking for a unique entertainment experience. That's going to do it for the news. And now for the views. Michael, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that I heard the word immersive experience at least once in that news story.
Yep. Had to do it at least once. At least.
But more so, when I think of Evel Knievel, I immediately think of Caesar's Palace, and I immediately think of the jumps over the Caesar's Fountains. Mm-hmm. That's my vision. I mean, like, you know how you have reference, like, Evel Knievel, Caesar's Palace, fountains, jumping. So this is super exciting to me because there are not a lot of people who are more iconically related to Las Vegas than Evel Knievel. I mean, he could have been a Mr. Las Vegas, though. I mean, he definitely, you know what? He is a Mr. Las Vegas, in my opinion.
There should be like a, like Mr. Las Vegas should be like this just group. You have Wayne Newton in there, of course.
Yeah.
Because you have to.
Oh, no. Of course Wayne's in there.
And the Rat Pack, everybody in the Rat Pack and all that. It seems kind of sexist. We got to get a Mrs. Las Vegas in there or Miss Las Vegas or something. We got to balance it.
There are some performers, though. Who was a performer in Las Vegas? A solo female.
Celine Dion. Performer.
Okay, that could be.
I mean,
that
they built a theater for her. So.
Okay, I'm sort of, I can get behind that a little bit. How about Donnie and Marie.
So Marie, has she had a solo show?
No, I don't think so. I think you do have to have, like, to be a Mr. or Ms. Las Vegas, you probably need to have a solo. I don't know if you need to have a solo show. I don't know. We're making up the rules.
We are. We're making them up as well.
Okay. But it's something to think about. Who would you make? Who would you add to the list of your Mr. or Miss Las Vegas? And if we're missing other pronouns, we're not doing it on purpose. So it's open to any pronoun Las Vegas. Just wanted to say that so we don't get politically censored.
Right. That being said, yesterday I wrote a piece on travelzork.com called Lost Vegas, the Imperial Palace. And I looked back at some of the uniqueness about the property, such as dealertainers, the long winding walks, etc. And on X, formerly Twitter, I asked a question, what are your memories of the Imperial Palace? And there was a multitude of responses, and we'll get to those responses shortly. But yesterday's article inspired this history moment.
Greetings, ladies and gents. And now it is time for our Las Vegas history moments. A moment of Las Vegas' history. Brought to you by TravelZork.
Imperial Palace, you definitely have more of the knowledge base than I do. But I do remember the joint a little bit, mostly because when it had been shortly after it was taken over from Caesars and it was still called Imperial Palace, my uncle stayed there with some friends, and I think he didn't really exactly realize what he was booking. And I remember hanging out with them a bit, actually even going up to his room and dealing with those elevators. I swear we went to the Chinese joint for dinner, but I remember hanging out a little bit. And I do remember it was a little worn, but I also knew it was a property that many of my friends, and especially Low Roller friends, really, really liked, especially for the kitschiness of the properties. I do, you know, things that I recall is that they had those crazy love tub rooms, you know, for lack of a better term, and also really pretty awesome penthouse suites. And, you know, it was a great place for Low Rollers. It was a great place for partying, like bachelor party kind of stuff. And it was really cool. And a lot of people I know liked it. My preference in my more Low Rollerish days, now I'm sort of, I don't know what my days are now, was Harrah's. But I could definitely understand why a lot of people liked it. Also, Imperial Palace was known for giving good gambling. They were known for a good poker room. They were known for a good sports book. And they were known for good odds at their table games. And I'm going to guess, though I don't want to go on record definitely saying this, they probably also had good video poker. So they were known for a lot of things. They also were known for the fact that Ralph Engelstad was a sort of Looney Tune person, and he had created a little bit of controversy, or a lot of controversy, with some of his Hitler kind of conversations. Basically, he always claimed that his interest in Hitler was purely historical, and that the festivities were just theme parties to boost employee morale. The gaming authorities in Las Vegas actually disagreed with that, and he was fined. Years later, Engelstad later denounced Hitler and apologized to the Jewish Federation of Las Vegas for his error in judgment. He called the parties he threw for his employees on Hitler's birthday stupid, insensitive, and held in bad taste. This is probably a conversation for another time, but I think it was something, as somebody who's Jewish, deep down in my head, was one reason why I didn't really hang out at the Imperial Palace as much as some people. But I'm also not looking to get into the controversy of it. We could give you links, or I can send you links to some of the articles, and you can sort of decide for yourself. What was definitely debunked was that the Imperial Palace was shaped like a swastika. That actually wasn't true. Or I don't know, Movestro, what is it? I don't remember what they say about that, but it's not like that was not the reason. Or
yeah,
that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it isn't shaped like a swastika. Google Earth came out, or maybe I believe it was Terra Earth originally, with the aerial photos of places, it was like, yeah, no, that's not a swastika.
Yeah, so let's shift to better memory. Let's just shift to the good memories and maybe some of the things that people are saying on Twitter, because it is really fascinating to hear people's memories. Also, remember they had this great show called Legends in Concert, which had all of these performers who, you know, performed as different stars. They also had a great, like, antique car exhibit. There was like a lot of goodness happening at this property, and that's what we want to focus on. So first, from Gene, we heard, along with my partner, I was in the Legends in Concert show from 1994 to 2005, doing our tribute to the Righteous Brothers. It was a very memorable time in my entertainment career. Michael says, stayed there once for $17 because it was cheaper to spend the night and fly out the next morning. When it was still independent, my friends wouldn't let us go in because the owner was said to be a Nazi. And obviously we addressed that. And Movestro, please chime in about any of your thoughts on these, because I know you have a lot of thoughts.
Will do.
Vin says, made out, this is Twitter fucking gold. Or X. When do we stop saying X, formerly Twitter? I keep asking that. Is there like some like statute of limitations?
I think there's like a year that you're supposed to say X, formerly Twitter.
Okay, I don't know. It's just like one of those. I always think that. Made out with a girl on the balcony, and the sliding door locks when closed. Was stuck on the balcony for a good 2 hours in the cold, till her roommate came to open it, made use of those 2 hours and put on a show before cameras took over. Now that is awesome. Thank you, Vince, for that memory. We love it. I don't know what to say. I just think it's awesome. And also, this is important to remember. IP had balcony rooms up until, you know, there aren't a lot of balcony rooms on a Vegas Strip. You've got Cosmo, which is known for balcony rooms because it was built as a condo complex. Also, MGM has some, the new MGM has some balcony rooms. Bally's, or the original MGM, had balcony rooms. And now they've added balcony rooms to Horseshoe, actually in a tower that they've annexed, which is from Paris, which is the Versailles Tower, and they have terrace rooms. So balcony rooms are pretty darn special in Vegas, and I would think that there are probably a lot of reasons why you probably don't want to have balcony rooms in Vegas, but that's just an interesting piece of history there. Okay. Next up.
Let me get that over. Okay, here we go.
Ah, ooh, wow. We've got an entire support team called Movestro here that keeps the magic happening. If I only had someone to help me with my hair, life would be perfect. Maybe. Anyway, the poker room used to be immediately on the right as you enter was superb. Lots of tourists passing traffic. A bar within the poker room as well. Easy money and quick drinks. What could be better? Oh, yeah, a karaoke bar out front as well. If only they'd bring it all back. Thank you, James82. That's cool. And then we had a next comment was, first ever trip to Vegas. Played cheap blackjack and got hammered on the free beers. Dumped my beer on the table. They cleaned it up while my buddy laughed at me. He dumped his 20 minutes later, and we were asked to kindly stop playing by the pit boss. I responded that this has happened to everybody, and it happened to me at Rio. Yes, I was that guy, except it was me dumping my drink on a blackjack table twice.
Wow.
Pretty good, right? Hey, if you're going to go big or go home, baby.
Indeed.
TG says, I came to Vegas with my father one time, and we watched a luau around the pool from our balcony. I had no idea that I would be moving here many years later. Yes, they were also known for their luau at the pool level. Another interesting fact is that they have pool level rooms at the Link, which was the Imperial Palace, because Pomsey did a video of it. So they have those rooms where you get like a little courtyard outside that leads into the pool, which is pretty cool. A couple places do that. I think the Plaza's doing that too. Is the Plaza doing that, Movestro? Where there's a room that is on the pool area, on the pool level?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure either. Purple Kevin says, I remember this guy, Jay. Oh, he must have run the sports book. It is a sports book there. And making a $10 bet on Pernell Sweet Pea Whitaker to win just 80 cents and wondering what was wrong with me to bet so much to make so little. Well, it's 80 cents. Eight's lucky. Of course, that's the reason. That's a really cool story. And then somebody else says, I was in a room there during a nuclear test. Thought the place was going to collapse. I am so curious about
me too. That would nuclear really...
I'm like, okay. Really cool. Another one from Ryan. The dealer Tainers and my best friend whooping ass at the roulette table on his wedding night. There is nothing better than whooping ass while gambling on your wedding night. The only more crazy thing that I've heard than that, and that isn't so crazy, is an AP who got 86th from a casino property on his wedding night. Got to be pretty special to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Cammy says, worked there at 17 years old, which is awesome. I vote that we need to get Cammy on Zorkast or Yo 11, because I think Cammy has a lot of stories that I would love to hear. And Cammy, don't worry, we'll have you on. We won't even say who you will. We'll hide your identity. Don't worry. We could do that blurry picture thing. You could do that, right, Movestro?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Then this Viking person said, in 2001, we were 21 and won $400 at $5 blackjack. That's pretty awesome, because winning $400 at $5 blackjack is not an easy feat. We felt like millionaires. Funny story, I responded to this also on Twitter. I felt that way after winning a little bit over $300 at Baccarat at the original Aladdin. I was 19 years old in 1989, and it was magical. And that was also a trip where I went to the Big Kitchen Buffet at Bally's, which was the best buffet in Las Vegas in 1989. And what do you think we did with that money? We went to Olympic Gardens, of course. Hey, does that surprise you?
No.
Steve, between bankrolls, said, dealer tainers and getting lost on the way to my room every time. Didn't you say something about that, Movestro? Did you get lost? Did you find the layout of IP to be really confusing? Because I didn't go there often enough to know, and I find every new casino I go to, the layout to be confusing. So what did you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, if you ever looked at it from an aerial view, you could just tell by looking at it, yeah, this place is going to be kind of confusing to get around. Almost as bad as Caesar's Palace. But like, there is these in the back of the property, there are the old Flamingo Capri rooms, that, because before Imperial Palace was a thing, there was the Flamingo Capri. And then Imperial Palace, you know, added on to that for a lot. But anyways, in order to get, it was the cheapest room in Vegas at one point, and in order to get there, you had to go on this epic journey from the strip, the strip entrance, and you just had to go past the casino and just keep on walking. You had to go up an escalator and then just keep on walking. And when you're finally there, you'd get to your room at the Flamingo Capri, and if you wanted to open the curtains to see what your view was, it was the inside of a parking garage. I didn't say a parking lot, not an outdoor parking lot, an inside of a parking garage. That was your view.
That is absolutely fantastic. You know, some funny stories about that, at least about properties that were built around things. Anyone, if you didn't realize it, but one of the towers at MGM Grand, the current MGM Grand, was the old Marina Hotel, and they sort of took over that tower and built it, and the room size is still the Marina Hotel. Mm-hmm. That's sort of interesting. Also, in Atlantic City, Caesars, in order to get a gaming license in Atlantic City, you needed to have, I think it was 500 hotel rooms, and they were very, very anxious to open Caesars Atlantic City, or Caesars Boardwalk Regency, as it was called. So what they did is they took over a Howard Johnson's, and the Howard Johnson's became part of the Caesars, basically to get it opened right away. That original Howard Johnson's wing, they have built the lobby of Caesars Atlantic City around, and there are rooms that are interior view rooms that look out from the rooms, and I think it's the Forum Tower in Atlantic City. They look out from the rooms to the lobby, because at that point it was a I know, I love it. I love it. But that's the old Howard Johnson. I mean, that's like, oh my God, I've got a room in the old Howard Johnson's tower. Anyway, I thought that was pretty funny.
Wow.
Yeah. Now we have Jack, who said, once met Ralph in his office, sign above his desk. I love this. This is a quote. This is a quote that is tattoo worthy. The harder I work, the luckier I get. And Jack goes on to say, by the way, he knew I'm Jewish. To me, he was misunderstood. And we were talking a little bit about that before. And like I said, that's a conversation for another time over dinner in Las Vegas. Jay says, a fun double deck pitch blackjack game. I also picked up these before it closed. And he shows a picture of the Imperial Palace dice. Double deck, they were known for really good gambling, and a double deck pitch game, especially back then when it was a 3-2 pitch game on the strip, probably was like a $15 minimum. Amazing gamble. You can barely get a gamble like that downtown anymore. So that's another great thing to do, to say, to remember. Clear Red Sky says, in the Wheel of Madness on some of the blackjack tables, some of the best times with my friends were had at this casino. They also had the car museum in the back parking garage. And a lot of people have mentioned the car museum. Quite a few people have mentioned how much they like the car museum. And there were also a lot of World War II vehicles, which sort of, you know, Ralph was real into this World War II thing. And Clear Red Sky also says, oh, and the music guy at the pool always made sure to ask questions between songs. And the answer was always excellent. So, whoa, this is still, we've got a lot of these. This is crazy. And literally, you X'd this out. You tweeted this out last night. Steve says, they had a pit boss who looked like Selma the Old Lady Bailiff on Night Court. Every time we'd hit a bonus, she had to approve it before they sent it out. She would study it and nod. She was gone one night, and we hit one and yelled, somebody better call Selma at home. Wake her up. What a great story. Mark goes on to say, won my biggest slot jackpot there many years ago. That's a great thing about casinos, where you won your first slot jackpot. Or for me, another thing is where you hit your first royal flush. How about you, Movestro? Have you hit a royal flush, Movestro?
I have yet to hit a royal flush, but the first time the first and only time I should say I hit a jackpot was at Flamingo.
Ooh. Well, we need to change that the next time I'm in Vegas. And rumor has it, I am returning to Vegas soon.
Indeed you are.
Then Andrew goes on to say, I remember the champagne pit. That's the irony that they had a champagne pit at Imperial Palace. Free champagne when you played blackjack. Asterisk, probably was sparkling wine. Haven't drank champagne since. And he was like, I think that's like little throw up symbols. Okay, Andrew, well, thank you. Yeah, Imperial Palace had a champagne pit. That would have, you know, if I had known that, that might have swayed my opinion. And then EM goes on to say, sat on my balcony drinking beer while it was raining and watching like 10 couples in 10 different rooms having sex with their blinds wide open. And there you are, folks, the amazing memories of the Imperial Palace. Movestro, anything to add?
I'm you know, when I started frequenting the palace, it was sort of looked like it was on its way out. But I'm glad that there are some people who had a good time there. So that's a good thing. I was actually very surprised by the response we got on Twitter, X, formerly Twitter, sorry, Elon, that there was so much response to it. It was just like an article and a simple question. Hey, what are your memories of Imperial Palace? And then I was just like, so that was fun.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is too, it shows you how much people yearn this nostalgia. This Vegas nostalgia is huge. I mean, I'm always going to love Vegas. Vegas is my favorite city in the world. That's never going to change, I hope. But there is still old Vegas stuff or older Vegas stuff or semi-old stuff, which I really do still yearn for. I totally appreciate the Vegas of 2024. I appreciate that Vegas is a living, breathing, organic, changing machine. But I still love the nostalgia. I'm trying my hardest as I get older, not to be one of those people that says, when it used to be, $1.99 for the buffet. Trying not to be that guy. But I do. But there is a lot to be said about the history and the nostalgia. And I really, really enjoy it, as I know you do too, Movestro.
Indeed. Before we get going, is there anything that you want to share? Anything about Zorkfest or anything like that?
Yes. We are working on a new concept. And I had mentioned it to Vegas Duffy, which is called Coffee Dice Lab. And I'll just leave it at that. We haven't totally figured it out yet, but we're looking to, you could probably figure out a little bit of where I'm going, but we're looking to create this Coffee Dice Lab thing, in addition to, of course, Coffee Dice on Sunday morning. So stay tuned, because we have a lot of things that we're working on, and can't wait.
All right, sounds good. And that's going to do it for this episode. Luxury travel booking, Travel Zork Travel. Visit us at travelzork.travel to plan your next amazing vacation. not just Las Vegas, but anywhere in the world. And please join the conversation on social media. You can find us easily. All social platforms are at Travelzork. We'll see you next time.